you just get to live the most ordinary day of your life. But the most ordinary day is the most important day.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Ted, episode 91. It's Sunday.
Yes.
And I don't know, man. We've had a long weekend to get to the point on Sunday where we're now recording.
Long week leading into a long weekend, a fun-filled weekend. Did you guys have fun all weekend? Did you do stuff?
Man, it was like a super long week at work. Work has just been like ridiculous for the past month. And then this weekend, like, I take out my frustrations on the pedals.
Uh-oh.
So, like, I go out and, like, you know, coach-wise says, ooh, go easy. You got to do this certain, like, power. And I'm just like, how hard can I go? And mash the pedals and crush it, you know? So
you just pound it. You just pounded.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Though the weather has been beautiful. I know you guys are having fires there.
We're having some fires. You know, fires up by you?
No, the weather's beautiful here.
Okay.
Yeah, sunny every day, like a gentle breeze, nice and warm, like mid 70s.
Yeah, I forget. Was it Thursday morning or Friday morning? I walked out of my door at 5 o'clock to run to the gym. And, you know, you could always smell the smoke when there's fires in the valley here.
Right.
But it was strange because I could smell the smoke and the heat was actually wafting in waves. So it was a chilly morning.
Wait, the heat from the flames?
The heat from the flames. So you would walk and it was kind of chilly. But as I was walking to my car, I would walk through little pockets of heat. And the heat was, you know, a little extra smoky. So it was kind of a strange, very, very fast moving fire for how far away it was because it was in Glendale or north of Glendale. And we're here, you know, Western Valley, Mid Central Valley, Encino, Reseda area, you know?
Yeah.
So for it to get over here and still carry the heat,
wow,
was kind of amazing.
Man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, you guys are what, holed up inside avoiding the smoke, or is it smoky, or?
It was a little smoky just that morning. It was a little smoky when we got home. But yeah, Frank likes to say that if the fires get to where we are in the valley,
it's apocalypse.
Because it's apocalypse. You've heard it from him before.
No, I didn't hear it, but I'm thinking, like, if it gets to you guys, it has to burn through the entire valley.
Yeah, we're not backed up against any woods per se here, so I think it's definitely that.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing we're trying to do this week is we're trying to navigate birthdays.
Uh-oh, lots of birthdays.
Yeah, the boys are at the age where now, like, school's involved and kids are involved and all this stuff, and we want to have, like, birthday parties for them, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're a parent, so maybe I could get some input or something or some insight or what your thoughts are, but, like, okay, there's 22 kids in a class and you throw out the invitations like, hey, come to our house for a birthday party. But why does it mean that a 22 kid birthday party turns into 70 plus some adults or whatever? Because, like, parents can't just drop off their kid, go to a party for 2 hours and then come back and pick them up later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's strange, right? Like, I guess we've always, yeah. And I guess there's very few parties where we've dropped the kids off. Yeah, I guess we just kind of assume that it's like that, you know? I don't know.
And then, like, the other thing, too, is a lot of the parties, too, like in the old days, well, old days, when I was a kid, they'd be at the house. Panatail and Donkey, yes. Bozo Buckets or whatever. Well, now they're like at the swim rec center or at the pizza arcade place.
Yeah, and you're paying per head.
Yeah, and it's like, well, but it's also seen as rude. I'm just going to drop my kid off at the arcade and I expect you to, like, wrangle them.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, we want mom or dad or both or whatever there to wrangle your own kid. But in the meantime,
I think that's majority of what people are thinking, you know?
Yeah.
When they're in a situation like that.
So, I don't know. We were thinking, like, like on the invitation, like drop your kid off at noon, pick him up at 3, you know, just to say like, and that's not to say like I'm too cheap, I don't want to feed you. But what I'm saying though is like, we don't need we're not like throwing some bash where I'm serving like cases of beer and all this stuff. I mean, it's like a kid party.
Right.
Play some games. We'll have some cakes, sing happy birthday. Here's the presents, whatever. Okay. Thanks for coming, Johnny.
And maybe sell it like, you know, you can do something you want to do as a parent.
I told her that too. Know? I'm like parent respite, you know, like drop your kid off. You go, you get to have fun.
Here's the list of movies at the movie theater that you could watch while we're at this party.
And on the way there, listen to Trailer Junkies Podcast.
Here's two episodes of Trailer Junkies Podcast you can listen to.
For the drive up, because I know how long of a drive that is.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some beers. What beer do you have today?
Oh, yeah. So I have Surreal Alvarado Street. Sounds like it's from L.A., I guess, huh?
Oh, neat. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, independent. There's not much else on this thing. I mean, it is like, you know, the can is very... Salinas, California. That's where it is. Salinas, California. Anyway, it's a double IPA, 8% ABV. And I got it at Valley Brewers... the back room at Valley Brewers in Solving, where I get my brewing recipes. And I've talked about the back room on prior things. So, I'm looking forward to tapping in. So without further ado.
Crack it.
Yeah, let's go for this sucker. And it's a 16-ouncer at 8%. So I will be very happy at the end. Oh, and whoa, holy moly. That really foamed. I didn't expect it to foam like that. The thing that I'm discovering is like more and more, and I don't know even know what this is like. I can't tell yet. More and more beers are going down that citrus, grapefruity, I don't know, like whatever, sweet, you know?
Yeah.
And I really like the piney, the more like earthy flavors and things. And
yes,
you know, I'm kind of getting tired of the hazies. I'm getting tired of
tropical,
the citruses, the tropicals, the grapefruits, you know, like that stuff to me, like they're getting old after a while. And I find I keep going towards the same beer, the Lagunitas IPA and the Sierra Nevada Torpedo and the Voodoo Ranger we talked about. You know, there's like a handful that I'll go for because they have that more of a West Coast piney IPA, I guess, as opposed to like all this like froofy stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, what do you have this week?
So we went to Golden Road today to watch a little football and have a little Sunday brunch with some friends.
And Golden Road is where?
Golden Road Brewery is in Glendale. Well, is it Glendale? I think it's Glendale.
Okay.
It feels like Burbank, but it's in Glendale. And of course, when you talked about the citrus and the fruitiness, they're known for their whole mango cart, melon cart, pineapple cart lines.
You've had them before.
So I had that. And, you know, that's the cases you can get at Costco and all over the world, I guess now. Golden Road has kind of gone really big after getting bought by InBev.
So they're getting pretty big, I guess, huh? Oh, InBev bought them?
Yeah, InBev bought them. But I think they left control of this, of the brewery, to the original, you know, company. So we went there because I always liked their beers. I actually walked up to the bar and I was like, you know, I'm not really a fan of your carts, you know, I don't like the fruity wheat beers, you know? And he goes, and the bartender, Jesse, was like, you're the first person to ever tell me that you don't like my carts. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm a little too much of an IPA, you know, I like the bitiness of IPAs and that's what I'm into, you know, it's too light for me. It's too fruity. So he hooked me up with a Wolf Mother, which is a triple IPA.
Triple IPA.
It's a triple IPA. And I drank that today. It's served in little 8 ounces.
Okay.
Because it's 11.2%. So
there you go.
They kind of keep it small. I drank that while I was there. It really it's nice. It doesn't have the fruitiness that you're talking about. But when I, after drinking that and drinking a bunch of other stuff, I settled on a small growler of Rydon IPA.
Ride on IPA.
Ride on IPA. So it's kind of a California IPA. It's got a picture of a surfer on it, on the cover. So it's all about surfing and very Californian. It has some citrus notes, but it has some complexity to it. So some of their other beers are kind of one note. Some of the other IPAs, if they're just citrus, they can taste like overbearingly just one note. This one had some complexity to it. It has four kinds of hops: Bravo, Citra, Simcoe, and Cascade. And I'm thinking that Simcoe helps it have a little bit more of that pininess. And it's only 6.4 ABV.
Well, Cascade is going to give it a lot of piney as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of Sierra Nevada is done with Cascade. So what I have here seems to be fairly hazy, though there's no indication of hazy at all on this thing. I don't know what it is. It is sweet, but it's like a sweet pine cone. It's like if you baked a pine cone and glazed it with sugar.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's kind of how this tastes, actually. So, and how is yours tasting there?
Mine tastes nice. Mine's, like I said, I had one today at lunch, so it was... This is a little warm from driving home, but I think with IPAs, that's nice. It's all right.
Well, being warm is a good thing. I mean, you don't want beer to be ice cold. I mean, you probably want like 50, 55 degrees, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like chilled enough to where it's like refreshing, but yet it's warm enough to where like it opens up all the flavor notes.
Exactly.
Right.
So this is going to start on the warmer side. And it'll probably end up on the too warm side.
Just open up the door and let the fire warm it up, right?
No, I need to get a cooler.
Ah, there you go. So we have a bit of a theme this week.
We do.
Yeah, some animation.
It's all animation, you know. I even reached back a little bit for the Netflix one. But yeah, the impetus of this week's trailers was the release of Rick and Morty's trailer, Rick and Morty season 4. And I think, you know, after watching 2 seasons of Rick and Morty, now I know I only have one more season to go. And then I can catch up and watch, you know, season 4 either live with the rest of the peons or just wait for it to all come out and then get it when it comes out.
So Rick and Morty has survived the season 3 curse?
Well, we'll see.
For you, I mean, for you.
Well, that's all yet to be seen. I've only seen 2 seasons of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I follow you now.
And now this is season 4. So we'll see if I could get through season 3.
And they said there's 5 episodes. Is it typically a 5 episode season?
No, I think that's the whole joke. The whole joke is that all the Rick and Morty that you deserve or something.
Sure, yeah, know? I get that.
It's like it's about half a season and I think they had either some contractual obligations or, you know, just wanting to get out there in front of, you know, something else. Adult Swim probably just put their feet to the fire and said, give us whatever you can give us. We need to get it on the air in October.
Yeah, because this is definitely an adult animated show.
I'm sorry, November.
Okay, November. But this is an adult animated show.
100%. I think the only adult animated trailer that we have this week, but it is not for children as the trailer pretty much portrays.
I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, boys, we have 4 cartoons this week. So, of course, they sit down, and they're dropping F-bombs in the trailer. I'm like, whoops, sorry about that.
And then, oh, you watch it with the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because, you know, I see like a Disney thing and I see like a Santa Claus thing. I'm like, oh, boys, we got all these animated stuff, you know? And so then they're just like, they're sitting there and I don't know what the scene was, but they drop an F-bomb and I'm like, okay, I guess this isn't for children.
What did they think when the alien cat got its head blown off?
I don't think that kind of stuff phases them necessarily because it's in cartoon like world, you know, it's not very real.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about the language, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what about Morty in a Hitler youth garb shooting a gear mouth in the face?
Well, yeah. I mean, they don't pick up on that. I I mean, I'd say the thing is, though, it looks like the animation is that of like a Simpsons or Futurama, right?
So it is. It is part of that genre. It's part of that team that did that.
Okay, I was going to ask, does it come out of that production animation house sort of a thing, or?
Yeah, some of the artists are overlapping with Futurama, so you know.
Okay, they, makes sense.
On season one and season two, they had some of the artists and some of the producers of Futurama do the voice. Whatever the added voice track, the supplemental track to watch along with the directors or the production people, you know. So it is definitely in the vein and in the family of that. But I think it's definitely cranked up. You know, everything that Simpsons, Family Guy, and Futurama tried to do was still safe for network, you know. It was like,
right.
It was a little toned down, even though it was considered cutting edge for Fox at the time or cutting edge for broadcast television. This stuff is beyond that. You know, it is not at all for broadcast. It is not for children. It's on 11:30 at night. You know, it's trying its best to stay in the, you know, linear space, but also away from children. And it's funny because it has this animated look that it just doesn't, you know, it feels like it's for children. Like you said, you watch it and you look at the stills of these three things and it's like, they all look like they're for children. And this one is clearly not once you get halfway through it.
Are all the seasons the mad scientist type or is each season?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's okay. So he's playing the character he's playing.
Yeah. So Rick is the grandfather and Morty's the grandson. And they basically have adventures throughout time, space, and dimensions.
Gotcha.
And he is a mad scientist, and it is he's very good at what he does.
And you said it's on Adult Swim. I have heard of that. I don't think I've seen anything on it. Where can I find that, like through my Roku or whatever? I mean, is it like a Netflix thing, or is it like, or is there an Adult Swim channel, or like?
Well, like I said, I grab.
I mean, I'm playing totally like innocent victim here.
Exactly. I say just rent it from your library or check it out on what's that? Candu? What is it called?
Oh, Canopy.
Canopy.
Oh, so you get it from the library?
I rent the DVDs from the library.
Wow, you must have a pornographic. Violent rated our library, I guess, huh?
Yes.
There's like a whole adult section at the library.
It has saloon doors and stuff, you know?
Oh, that's amazing. And like, your kids are peeking over going like, ooh, you know? Because I did that when I was a kid, I think.
Only you and I would get that saloon door reference.
Yeah. It looks funny. I mean, I'm not going to say it doesn't look funny. It definitely looks funny. I'll check it out. I think the biggest obstacle I'm about to embark on is that Disney Plus is about to be released and I'm going to be having a lot of Star Wars Clone Wars coming out. I have my priorities, and I think Rick and Morty take a backseat to Star Wars.
I wonder if that's what Adult Swim's doing. You know, they're like, let's get something out November 10th. It feels very close to November 12th.
Oh.
And they're like, we need something to compete. Our new stuff is coming back. Rick and Morty's such a cultural phenomenon. I don't care how many episodes you have. Whatever you can promise to produce, let's get it out by, you know, beginning of November so that we can at least keep this hour or half hour, you know, keep them tuning in for this, you know,
at 11:30 at night, because
11:30 at night.
Yeah. Because you're not going to be watching, you know, like Pixar animation with your children at 11:30. Yeah. I mean, you might have a point there. I mean, who knows, you know?
Exactly. And you know, And like you said, you're watching that with your kids. So after you put your kids to bed, you can't watch an extra episode of Clone Wars because you got to save it for the kids.
Got to save it for the kids, right. Or the way I look at it is kids can't watch it without me. Right? I'm sitting there trying to cook dinner. Dang, can we watch another episode? No, man, I'm cooking dinner. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So Rick and Morty season 4. So do they title their seasons or anything, or is it pretty much just Rick and Morty? That's it.
The seasons are not titled. The episodes are obviously titled.
Okay. So it's like any other show then.
But the episodes are titled and it's kind of in film genre. Like they like to spoof film themes and film genres. So sometimes the titles of the episodes are based on other movies and things like that. So,
well, that's funny. because then now at least I know to look for it. I mean, I'm glad I learned that because then I could pay attention. It's kind of like what's his name? Steve Lurie, Rick Lurie. What's his name?
Yeah. Chuck Lurie.
Chuck Lurie. There you go. What he does at the end of Big Bang Theory and all that. He puts up like his little like prose of whatever that might be, you know, and I've read a few of them. There's a website that has like all of his prose that he writes. So you could go and read every single one of those end of Big Bang Theory things.
Yes.
So those are kind of, I've read a bunch of them, you know, on the website. I don't have the patience to pause it, you know, because I'm like, we got to get to the next episode. Like when we were watching Big Bang Theory on like Blu-rays or whatever.
Right. Are you done with Big Bang Theory or are you only watching it on Blu-rays? So you have to wait for the last season to come out.
For Big Bang Theory?
Yeah, for Big Bang Theory.
Oh, well, I don't know how many episodes they have, how many seasons they have. But what I can say with certainty is we probably haven't seen the last three or four.
Oh, okay.
Because once they got to like season 9, I was just done, you know?
Okay, good.
I mean, you know how it is, right? We talked about season 3 curse. I mentioned it earlier. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying I won't ever go back and watch them all the way through, but yeah, you lost me after like, what is it, like 11 or 12 seasons? It's something ridiculous. Yeah, I'm going to say we bowed out around season 8 or 9. You know, when everybody got married, I was like, yeah, this is lame. Marriage is lame.
Marriage. I already live that. Why do I want to see a sitcom?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't need to live a TV show. Come on. You know, I want to live in a fantasy world. All right. Speaking of fantasy, Onward.
Onward. So Onward, you know, speaking also of Disney Plus, this is going to come out in the theaters this year, but obviously this is going to be one of those features that hits the theater and then we'll have a window. And the thing I'm wondering about is, will the window shorten now that Disney Plus is here, you know?
You're reading my notes. The question I have, though, so if you think about, like, ever since VHS or beta, even, right? You go back to like, what, the late 70s, I guess, when all that came about?
Yeah.
And you would have like the release to theater, and then there was like this amount of time, right? You know, Jaws is in the theater.
Right.
Then there's like, I don't know, what, 6 months, a year, year and a half, who knows how long. And then all of a sudden, poof, there's Jaws on VHS or beta.
Yep. Both.
And both, yeah. And, you know, you've always kind of had that, I don't know, how would you even call it? Like that.
It's called windowing.
Oh, windowing. See, ask Ted. But that like stream of like content release stages.
Yes.
Or whatever, you know, like it's released to the theater. Well, actually, it's released to a movie trailer. Then it comes out in the movies as a movie. And then you have this like quiet period for whatever the windowing time is. And then it gets released to
home entertainment, they call it.
Blockbuster or the movie. And that would be like the where you go rent it or something.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, things can come out on Netflix and in the theater at the same time. They could come out strictly to Netflix or Amazon, you know, whatever. But now it's like, what is the windowing time? I mean, I guess it's just enough to say, how long does it take us to collect the data to know when we start getting a drop off, boom, drop it now.
Right. And it's a question of your deals, I would say, you know, like you have a deal with, you know, the movie theaters. And even back in the day, you want to talk about movie theater windowing. There was a window for first run movies and there's a window for second run, like the dollar movie theaters.
Oh yeah.
You know, after 3 months in the regular movies, you could go see a movie for $1 or $2 and it's, you know, on the big screen.
Yeah, I forgot about those.
So that was, I think, one of the first things that's one of the first things that went away with home entertainment.
I used to love those.
Yeah, now you have home entertainment where, you know, imagine the early days of VHS where each one of those tapes would cost Blockbuster or Arrow's or Hollywood Video
$60 or something.
It would even be more than that. It was like sometimes it would be a couple $100.
Yeah.
And they would have to rent that thing 100 times to make it worth their while.
At $5 a piece or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember that.
So you couldn't even buy it or when it started to get into the collector's space where I wanted to buy things, I was like, ooh, can I buy the VHS? And yeah, they said, this is $110 if you want to buy it. And I'm like, nope, I guess I'll just wait for it. So there's a lot more price control back in the day. And now it's just a question of, you know, what relationships do you have that you still care about? Do you care about the relationship you have with the people that press the DVDs? I don't know. You know, do you care about the department that is home entertainment and how are they going to get folded into something else, you know? So it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting problem. There's a lot of existing relationships and all the existing departments that are involved in this, you know, feature film release process. And, you know, Netflix is at an advantage where they can put something out in the movie theater for 2 weeks and then put it on their streaming service after that. And they don't have to worry about it. They're not burning, you know, a business partner that they've had for 30 years that presses the DVDs for them. You know what I mean?
Well, and then every time you open up Netflix, it was kind of like not Steve Jobs, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Gates. It was kind of like the Bill Gates documentary. It was a 3-part series. And every time I open up Netflix, they kept feeding it to me.
Right.
The only way to stop them from feeding it to me is to watch the damn thing. And now it went away, right?
They know you watched it.
Because they know that I saw it. And they're like, okay, we don't need to feed this. Let's feed them something else. And now, like, Rotten is all over it because season 2 of Rotten just came out. And that's like a food farming, like anti-big ag type of a... I don't know. We haven't seen it yet, but I think we're going to watch it.
Anti-wasting, anti-waste, food wasting or something like that?
No, I think it's like anti-big ag.
Okay.
You know, so I like I said, I haven't seen it, so I don't know anything about it, but I can only imagine the solution is like community gardens and backyard gardens, you know, but whatever. We'll see what that turns out to be at 5 a.m. on the indoor trainer.
I forgot that Netflix took away the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Oh, I haven't even noticed.
Yeah, I think there was a big uprising that they took away the thumbs up, thumbs down. And that this would be a perfect thing where if you started to watch something like Steve Jobs
Bill Gates,
you know, and you didn't want to finish it, then, you know, what is your recourse if you don't want to finish it?
Oh, I follow you. Stop serving it to me.
Yeah, I don't want it served to me. You know, I watch something else. I don't know. Well, that's interesting to see. I'll look into that some more.
You know, and that was the thing, though. So it's like, I wanted to watch it anyway. You know, I'm not saying
right.
And I think the other thing, too, was like I said, the Between Two Ferns Galifianakis one, I wanted to watch it. We talked about it. And they served it to me. And like the first time they served it to me, I clicked play and I watched because I was already planning on watching it. But what if like my mom, for example, I guarantee you she's not into that at all. And she has nothing to do or wanting to do with it, you know, but like she goes on a Netflix and it keeps coming up for her. And she's like, get rid of this. Like, how do you get rid of that? I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, because not everybody's like... 30-something millennial, you know? I mean, my mom's like in her mid-70s, you know? Like, she wants to watch, I don't know, like Mary Tyler Moore or something. Who knows what she wants to watch? I don't even know what she wants to watch. You know? No, she watches like The Crown and all that stuff, you know? Or, I don't know, whatever Anne watches is what my mom watches.
You're saying my wife has the taste of a 7-year-old woman?
Well, she's an old lady at heart. All right, how about we get back to Onward here?
Back to Onward. Onward and Onward. What are your thoughts? I mean, these are great voice talents.
Opening stars. Thoughts. I think the trailer plays it well in the beginning, and I think the trailer makes it hard in the beginning.
Oh, okay.
So what I mean by makes it hard is there's kids who don't have dads. And to say that, wow, this staff can have my dad come back for a day, you know, I think that might weigh heavy on some kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was really like touched. My kids obviously have me here still, you know, but what if they were like 8, 10, 9? 9? I mean, what if something happens to me and all of a sudden they watch this, you know? Well, we could bring our dad back or something. I mean, like, man, not every kid has a dad, you know? And I don't mean they don't have a dad as far as like divorce or like incarceration or something. I mean, like,
death.
My dad died of cancer or something, yeah. Or something tragic happened and now
we don't have a dad.
You know, I think that was pretty intense, you know, and I kind of felt it a little bit, you know, like I internalized that.
Do you think it softens it, the fact that they're not human?
I don't think so. I think because
they're too humanoid. They're like,
I think, yeah, they're humanoid, but I think kids see through that stuff. I mean, I think the message is touching enough, you know?
Yeah. So what saves it for you?
Oh no, I don't, I'm not going to say that it's not watchable because of that. I think it's the message. I think whatever it is great. My kids of the three, so we'll get to Claus in a minute. But of the three, I mean, they are all in. They want to watch this one. And I asked them about the Claus one, and they were like, eh, whatever. You know?
Really?
I'm like, yeah. Well, boys, it's on Netflix. We can watch it anytime. And they're like, yeah, when it comes out. But Onward, I mean, they were all, like, they are just like, I don't even care if I'm wearing, like, blue jeans and a t-shirt. I'm jumping in the deep end.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's how they were about it.
Did they like the fact that they're brothers and, you know, and Timmy and Mikey are brothers? It's like,
I don't know if they picked up on that. You know, I don't know if they picked up on that, but I think they just liked the fact of like the magic. Like, I don't even think they picked up on the dad's not there and they're trying to recreate the dad or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think they liked the magic and I think they liked the fantasy side of it and the one-eyed woman and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And for whatever reason, I think they just got into it that way.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it's trying to sell. You know, it has that sweeping shot of the Minotaurs or whatever those half horse people
yeah,
are.
For sure.
And then by the time you're thinking about it as an adult and you're like, oh my God, it's heavy stuff with the, you know, dead dad.
For sure.
But then, you know, there's kind of a Disney joke about the killing of the parents, you know, you have to kill the parents or else there's no story there.
That's right. That's right. You know, and the funny thing about killing the parents, actually, is, you know, they missed one legacy card.
What's that?
You don't know?
No, tell me.
From the creators of What About Bob?
What?
Well, come on. When they have him, like, half-dressed, like, the ragdoll thing, like, he looks like Bob.
Oh, he does. He does.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching. I'm like, is that a scarecrow? Like, he's like, I'm like, no, it's Bob. What about Bob? You know? Overall, though, I would say it looks like a heartwarming, like, family, what's the way to put it?
Quest. It's a quest movie.
Be thankful. Well, no, I mean, like, be thankful for the people in your lives because they won't always be there. And, you know, whether it's your mom or your dad or your siblings or even your dog or something, right? Like, at some point, we're all going to be gone, right?
Right.
You know, and like I say,
yes,
you know, nobody's getting out of life alive.
Right.
And it's true. And I think it's a good message to kids to say, like, be thankful. Don't argue with your parents. You know, eat your vegetables because one day you're going to miss those days or those times when your parents, like, griped at you for not eating your vegetables. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I know.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. That reminded me of this mantra that I've been saying all week since you mentioned it last week. And I don't know whether we mentioned it on air or off air, but the unconditional positive regard. Oh, man, I am trying so hard, my friend, to bring this into life and into situations of parenting. And it, you know, like you said, you did it at school, but parenting is a whole nother thing. And it's so much harder when it's that much closer to everything. But I'm trying. I'm trying so hard that Bryce, I forget what we were doing, but we were at church today and he leaned over to me and something the priest had said reminded him of it. And he whispered, unconditional positive regard. Like, that's what Jesus does. You know? So it was very funny
that
Bryce was like putting those two things together.
Or Carl Rogers.
Exactly.
Because he's a psychologist who like kind of coined the phrase of unconditional positive regard.
Oh, good. We got to give him his credit there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I agree totally with you on Onward. I think, you know, to me, if you get caught up in that heavy moment of thinking like, oh, they're dealing with the loss of their father. Now they're going to bring their father back for 24 hours. And then the ridiculousness of bringing back his lower below the waist father, you know what I mean? Just bring up that half and then say, oh God, now the clock is ticking. I have, you know, T minus 24 hours to bring back the rest of him or else we lose him forever, you know? And it's just this,
yeah,
it's this ridiculous thing that adds the levity to such a heavy, heavy subject, which I think that's what Pixar does really, really well. They take subject matters that are ultra heavy, like loss or like, you know, the loss of childhood or, you know, any one of these other huge, heavy concepts. And they don't dumb it down, but they make it accessible to so many people of all ages and all walks of life. And it just makes this, becomes this universally accessible idea and concept. So, you know, films like WALL-E and Up are just great movies about life and different aspects of life that, you know, sure, there's a story there, but there's more of like the guts of being human. You know, it's more of humanity. You know, it's these huge explainers on these different aspects of humanity.
A thought concept or a thought experiment that I like to think of and kind of work through. And sometimes I'll talk with people about them, you know, not necessarily the kids I work with, but, you know, as a psychologist, what I like to think through is there have been times where, you know, you come up with the thing, like if you could go back to any point in your life, where would you go? Right.
Right.
So let's say you're like 100 years old on your deathbed and it's like, or you're dead and like, there's the ghost who's going to bring you back to some point or something. Right. Like it's kind of like the ghost of Christmas past or something.
The ghost of Christmas past.
Right. And people would say like, oh, I'd go back to the birth of my child, or I'd go back to my wedding day, or I'd go back to some like grandiose moment in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I like to think like I would just go back to Tuesday, like whatever Tuesday is, you know, like we're cooking dinner, I'm having a beer, I'm reading to my kids, I'm like riding bikes and we're kicking the ball and, you know, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like you just get to live the most ordinary day of your life, but the most ordinary day is the most important day.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to be at your wedding day or the birth of your child. I mean, those are great moments. I'm not going to say they're not, but like the most important day is the most ordinary day.
Yes.
And I think I kind of got that feeling from this movie is that they don't say, let's wait until Christmas and we'll get Dad back. They just say, well, let's get him back right now because whatever, it doesn't matter. We just want to be with him.
No, totally.
And I think that's like, I mean, holidays don't matter and events don't matter and graduations and commencement ceremony, like it's all just like contrived nonsense, really. What matters is just those intimate moments with our parents, our kids, you know, ourselves, you know, whatever that is. And those just happen on like Tuesday.
I will task you with something, and I don't know whether you've seen it or not. But have you seen About Time?
About Time. It doesn't sound familiar. No,
it's a romantic comedy with Domhnall Gleeson and Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
And it is, and Bill Nye plays, Domhnall Gleeson's, father. And it's built as a rom-com, but it's also a time travel movie. So it's a time travel rom-com. And it's funny because Rachel McAdams has actually been in 3 time travel rom-coms. She's cornered the market.
She's typecast.
But of all 3 of them, I say About Time is probably the best time travel rom-com because it does talk about what you're talking about. The idea of the mundane moments in life being the most important. And, you know, when we talk about Up, it's a big thing that we talk about in that movie as well, when they have the big book of, you know, these massive things that happen in their life. And even after, you know, Ellie has passed, she wrote in the book about all these, you know, having the flat tire and the in the rain. And, you know, she talks about these seemingly unimportant moments in life. Just the fact that you're together as a family family or as a couple is what's most important. And this movie talks about it as well. And it's really just the, you know, it has the best message of any rom-com. It's actually much, it is the best story of love in a movie that I've seen. So About Time, a big 5-star rating for me. And I think I've seen it 3 times. I should probably watch.
Will watch.
How many times have you seen it?
Been watching it with your other wife?
No, I saw it with you twice. I think I saw it once on my own.
I Google Rachel McAdams.
Uh-huh.
And then I hit the letter T.
Uh-huh.
The first thing that comes up, Rachel McAdams has been in
yes.
3 time travel films, but never time traveled.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. All right, man, before we get to that, one man who does time travel, at least he's been traveling quite a bit every Christmas, is Claus.
Yes, yes. And now Klaus is Netflix version of A Santa Claus Tale. They're claiming it as their first animated feature. I don't know. My kids kind of balked at that. Artie's like, they've had animated films before. So I don't know whether that's the brand that they're trying to sell or trying to sell this as their first feature animation, you know. But it feels cool. It feels like it's got some real quality animation chops in it. It doesn't feel like it's been slapped together. So I don't know. Your kids aren't interested in it. They aren't as interested as Onward, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely more interested in Onward. And I don't know. So, okay. First thing, when you look at the 3 animated trailers that we have, there's 3 different animated styles.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So you have like, I mean, your typical Pixar look to it, right? I mean, you see a Pixar movie, it looks like a Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Morty is very much
TV animation kind of thing.
Simpsons.
Yeah.
Simpsons, Futurama, you know, that kind of a thing. And Klaus has its own kind of more, I don't know, what would you say? Like the angular animation, like the lines are more angular and it's they just weren't into the animation as much, I don't think. And
okay.
The other thing is, it's a Santa Claus origin story.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
I think the boys were kind of like, I don't know why they didn't say this, but I kind of got the vibe. Like, I don't know why they're saying Santa Claus didn't exist. And then all of a sudden, the mailman says he's Santa Claus.
Right.
You know, and they didn't necessarily, you know, what they didn't do is they didn't articulate that, but what they did do is they kind of had like an air of confusion, as you know, about them as they were watching it.
And as children, you kind of take the concept of Santa Claus, and it's through time and space. Santa Claus has always been and always will be, right? Maybe for kids.
Oh my God! Like
the idea.
Santa Claus is God.
The idea of an origin stories. Yeah, the idea. The idea of an origin story for Santa Claus kind of demystifies it a little bit.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Maybe gives it some more reality where, oh, maybe there could come a time where there wasn't a future with Santa Claus. Or, you know, but we've had other movies like Arthur Christmas, where Arthur plays one of the sons of Santa Claus, and it shows the great lineage of Santa Claus, but doesn't really talk about a time before Santa Claus. It just talks about how the Santa Claus ages and gets, you know, deems his eldest son or most worthy son as the next Santa Claus. So that's more of like a passing down of,
oh, that's Jesus,
the mantle. This is not a religious podcast. I don't know why we keep talking about Jesus.
Here's what I'm thinking, though. The boys watch this, right?
Uh-huh.
The mailman, right? He's like, in a sense, he's creating Santa Claus.
Yes.
So now we come up to December, which is coming up pretty quick here.
Yes.
And boys come home. They run to the front porch. They're like, Daddy, we got a package, you know? And I'm like, okay, what did Grandma bring this time or send this time?
Yes.
Or like, I'll order like, you know, whatever. People order
Amazon.
Yeah, we get stuff from Amazon, right? Everybody does. So now they're going to be like, oh, what's this box?
Your new microphone, your...
Yeah, well, fortunately, I don't need that. But no, and now they can read, right?
Uh-huh.
So they I roll up, they hop out of the bike. I mean, they're like Starsky and Hutch coming off the bike. They run to the front door, and now the first thing they're like, oh my God, it says Timmy and Mikey, you know, because they can read. So what happens when those things are at the front door?
Mm-hmm.
It has their name. We watched this movie, and the postman is the creator, essentially, of Santa Claus.
Okay.
And now they're going to be like, oh my God, the mailman. He must be Santa Claus. So now you see a guy in like a blue suit with like weird blue shorts and driving like this odd vehicle. And they're like, oh my God, that's a sleigh, you know? And
yes, yeah.
I could totally see the boys going down that route because that's how my kids think.
their gears are turning and they're like, we know this now. We figured it out.
Yeah, we know your game. Anyway, all three of these, I'm assuming Rick and Morty you're going to watch.
Yes.
Onward, I would say for no other reason than if you don't go to the theater, you have $3 a month that you're spending on Disney Plus. So you're going to watch this one.
Right.
And then Claws is Netflix. So like the bar is so low for Netflix. Like you're watching this, you're going to watch all three of these.
Well, here's the thing, right? And let's talk about when Claws is, when Klaus.
Klaus. Yeah, that's true. Right.
When Klaus, you keep doing that, but that's because it is Claws, you know, like it's going to morph by the end of that movie. It's going to be said Claws. But it is streaming on when? Do you know when it's streaming? 11:15. So,
oh wow, that comes out quick.
Klaus is coming out on 11:15, which is 3 days after the launch of Disney Plus. So I, you know, while we both,
and 5 days after Rick and Morty,
right? So I'm thinking like both Rick and Morty and Klaus are pushing to a space where they can just try to chip away at people that might be interested in Disney Plus. It feels like people are now programming around this huge behemoth that will be Disney dropping their streaming service in there. And I don't know. I mean, it could just be happenstance, but it does feel like they're trying to do this positioning and timing to do that. You know, I don't know. 11:15, you could say, Netflix could say.
No, I couldn't agree more.
It's easy. It's easy. It's a Christmas movie. We want it to come out before Christmas. But, you know, look in the past. They had that Christmas Chronicles last year. I think that was out Thanksgiving. And, you know, so that's Thanksgiving's more of an Thanksgiving's an easier sell as a release date for a streaming Christmas movie. To put it out on the 15th is almost, you know, it might as well be put out on the 12th. It might as well put out on launch day for Disney Plus.
So in other words, what you're saying is Onward being in the middle of our analysis here is an Inward is a Rick and Morty Claus Disney Plus Inward sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an idea of, you know, maybe some of the counter programming has gotten to the streaming space where you don't have to worry about counter programming anymore because it's when you have a streaming service, it is what it is. You know, people watch what they want to watch when they want to watch it.
Right.
But now we have this date that we're all like hanging on, you know, by our fingers because we've already spent the 3 years, $140, you know, buy into this streaming service.
Yeah, it's not the 8 p.m. Tuesday night slot on CBS and then NBC, ABC, and everybody's vying for the 8 p.m. slot on Tuesday. Now it's more the date service is being released, and then you have like Prime and HBO and all these things like saying like, oh wow, we have our thing going, so how are we going to counter?
And how will we get them to click out of that app once they're in it? You know, there's going to be like so much of this new content delivered in a new way under this new banner. And if you don't leave Disney Plus, then, you know, if you don't have a reason to leave Disney Plus, then maybe you have no reason to keep that other streaming service, you know? So I think people are going to start peppering in this content on a more, you know, on a more routine basis, it feels like.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's what's going to keep you from leaving that service or whatever, you know? And I think in some regard, especially when a new service like that gets released with so much content, man, I think it's just time. You're just going to have to work your way through Disney until you until it becomes commonplace. And then you're like, okay, we're back to Netflix. We're back to Amazon, you know, all that stuff. And speaking of all the different services and what we're watching and stuff, let's get to that.
Yeah, sweet.
So what are you watching?
Tell me what you're watching.
Oh, what am I watching? Okay. The Mule. We watched The Mule. Clint Eastwood.
Oh, was it good?
You know, it was good.
Okay.
I have a number of thoughts about The Mule, and I think it has more to do with Clint Eastwood and his age than it does with the movie.
Well, you know, I feel very old a lot. and then, you know, being a member, being the president of the San Fernando Valley Orchid Society, somebody told me, like, The Mule, that's what Clint Eastwood was in The Mule. He was an orchid grower, like an orchid enthusiast or something.
A daylily. Daylily.
Oh, okay.
Let's get it right. Come on. Let's get it straight here.
Well, somebody told me, so it's secondhand. But yes, so when somebody told me that, I said, well, maybe I should give Clint Eastwood movies a try again. Maybe I'm in a new place in life where I'm old enough that I can sit through it and not be tortured by the fact that he's still Clint Eastwood and still making movies.
So what I will say, though, before I start on my analysis, we are in a kindler, gentler snowflake world. So... based on this movie alone, not my own opinions or my own ideas, there may be something offensive said here.
Uh-oh.
Yes, based on the movie, not me.
Okay, okay, okay.
So, first of all, it was a little bit tough to watch because, man, I don't know if it is or it's not, but man, Clint is getting frail.
Is he really?
Oh, he's looking old these days, you know, like...
Oh, no.
You know, just him getting out of the car... or out of the truck, whatever. And like, you could tell, like, he's just trying to straighten his back. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He gets out of the pickup and it's one of those things like, oh my God, I got to straighten up here for a second. And like, but he just lets it roll because like, it's his age. And he just like goes with it, you know, but man, he's looking frail. Just his arms and the way he moves and his clothes hang on him like a, you know, like a clothes hanger, you know?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He's not looking good. But his acting was great. I mean, his acting was great. What I will say, though, is make Clint great again. And here's why I say that.
Well, you need an empty chair for that.
Well, here's why I say that. He is not politically correct. And this is what I was saying when this is Clint's, what I'm going to say about the movie and not my own opinion.
Okay.
My assumption and my belief, and I really think this is true, though, whatever, maybe it's not. But I think he's using his age to absolve himself of anything non-political that was stated.
Uh-huh.
So he did avoid the big N-word. But he did drop a Negro.
Oh my God, really?
Calls Mexicans beaners, lesbians dykes. I mean, he just goes, the other thing, like he attributes all the societal problems to the internet, cell phones, all the technology surrounding it.
Oh man.
Young people, all the waste we do. Like he gets it. You know how, like, for example, you know, you could buy a cell phone.
Yeah.
And then next year a new cell phone. So then we throw that one away. We get a new cell phone.
Right, right.
There was so much of the movie around throwing away good cell phones.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood saying like, well, what's wrong with this cell phone? This is a perfectly good cell phone. So like... he has this like...
Did he scream, millennial, get off my lawn in the movie?
He didn't say those words. Pretty damn near close. Like, when you think about, like, just being wasteful and stuff, he's like, I got a cell phone. Why do you have to give me a new cell phone? Well, because it's for this run.
Right.
But my cell phone works. Why
it's
do I need
a burner.
Yeah, so like...
it's a burner.
He, you know, so I think a lot of the movie was like political in a lot of ways to say like young people are wasteful, young people are the problems, the internet sucks, you know, and it was like his way as an old curmudgeon to yell at society to say you guys are just being suck asses for all this stuff. And I think it was his way of saying, like, you know, I don't understand lesbians and I don't understand, like, I mean, you have to watch it, of course, but like,
yeah,
I think it was just Clint Eastwood like yelling at everybody through his movie.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, you watch it and you're like, I mean, it was a good movie. I'm not saying it wasn't, but like, I really think he was saying, you know, in many ways, like, society's going to hell and I'm laying out in my movie why. And it's not my drug running.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I also, the other side of it too is, that's his yelling at society, but I also think his message, which was brought up a number of times throughout the movie, was his call to action on young people as well for his personal life. You know, like, there were a number of times in the movie where he said, I work too hard. The whole theme of the movie was family, really.
Uh-huh.
I work too hard, I travel too much, and now, as an old man, I'm still working, I'm still traveling, and I'm putting all of this before my family. And he was talking to Bradley Cooper in one of the scenes, and he's like, whatever it is, man, just don't worry about your job. Be there for your family. You know, like, missing your anniversary or missing those moments like weddings, anniversaries, birthdays, because you would rather go to work and make money and do your job, whatever. I think it was like his message to say, I didn't realize, you know, I'm 89 years old. Like, I didn't realize all these years. But I think he was saying, like, you know, he's in the twilight of his career, of his life.
Yeah.
He's 89 yeah. years old. I mean, he's on borrowed time, essentially, right? He's an old man.
Yes, yeah.
And I think what he was saying was, like, to the audience, hey, you're going to be old someday. Don't worry about making money to buy a car, you know? Drive that piece of shit you have, work less, and spend time with your family.
Right. And it's so funny because, like, if on one hand he's saying, millennial, get off my lawn, and then after you say that statement, then he's like, but I like your ideas on how you guys live your lives. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Millennials are all into experiential, you know.
For sure. Life, yeah. Own less, do more.
Own less, do more. Yeah. You know, be more about the people you're with.
Than mindfulness.
The things you have and all that.
Minimalism.
Stuff. So it's so funny that he would like be a curmudgeon and yet espouse the tenets of, you know, Gen Z and millennial culture.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think the biggest thing about it, though, was there were tons of messages or parables, in a sense, that were given throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Don't do drugs. That might be one of them. But
just say no.
Yeah. Or don't be a mule for a cartel. So here's a quick fun story, and then we'll get to what you're watching.
Okay.
So Nancy Reagan.
Yes.
First lady for Ronald Reagan. If I had to guess, like, what, 37th, 38th president? I don't even know. But anyway, okay. President you could fact check me, but
I will.
So she starts the Just Say No campaign for drugs and everything, right? So what the cartel does in the mid-80s, they get some, I don't even know what it was. There was like, you know, hundreds of kilos of coke that gets like confiscated at some airport in Miami or something like that. And the whole package, it's, you know, this whole like, I don't know, what would you call it? Like freight pallet thing. And it's covered in stickers all over it that just say no. So using her, like, they're weaponizing the slogan, just say no.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So Ronald Reagan was the 40th president.
There you go.
You're close.
I said, what, 37th or something? Oh, my God. That's like Nixon. Yeah.
That's hilarious. So the cartel had the Just Say No sticker. Was this a period piece? Was it back in those days?
No, it starts off 2005 and jumps ahead to 2017.
Okay.
And so it goes about 12 years ahead. So essentially what it does is in 2005, it shows him as, you know, a prosperous, I don't know, florist, horticulturist, you know, doing these day lilies, and he wins awards and he's like the best guy in the
competitions. Yes.
Yeah. He's like the best. So you of the president of the Orchid Society, he's like the top dog of the day lily society, essentially.
That's cool.
And then it gets to the point where the internet takes over, you know, because of the whole, like, I hate the internet thing.
Right.
And they have a scenario where the lily guy is giving people all these deals for lily shipments online, and he's doing local lily shipments, you know, whatever. Not online, obviously.
Right.
Analog. And then it jumps ahead to where they foreclose on him because the internet put him out of business. Right?
No wonder he hates everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's crotchety.
Yeah.
But no, so I think it's like his swan song of, this is the end of my life, and I'm going to be me, and I'm just going to say it how I say it. And like I said, like, he like calls out the lesbians, and he calls out the blacks, and he calls out the Mexicans, and, you know, and then, like,
wow,
he like hates the young people and the internet and cell phones. And I mean, I think it was like all of that kind of a message behind it, you know.
he pulled out his little cheat sheet, and he's like checking off all the people that he's offended and made sure that he got to stick it to in the movie.
He was the Dirty Harry on society. You know, I mean, that's the only way I could describe it. But anyway, what have you been watching? That was a long way to go on The Mule.
Oh, The Mule. Well, I'm glad you saw it.
Oh, and let me back up really quick.
Yeah, go for it.
So seeing as we're trailer junkies and we talk about movie trailers, if you recall, there was the scene where he opens the back of the truck and the dog comes running up with the sheriff or the county sheriff or the, you know, the police.
Yes.
And it kind of sets the stage, like, as far as the trailer is concerned, it sets the stage where, like, oh my God, this is where he goes down. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you're watching the movie, you're like, it kind of happens early in the movie, and you're like, oh my God, does he go down already? You know, and then how is he going to rebound from this?
Yes.
But as you watch it, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but as you watch it, you see how trailer editors cut in scenes mm-hmm. that may or may not be relevant to anything. And they're only there to give you like a mid-movie scare, but they don't really,
yeah.
They don't add or take away anything from the movie. But yet that scene gets placed in the trailer to give you, because it is anticipatory and it get,
yeah.
Yeah, it is anticipatory and it gives you that feeling of, oh shit. But then like it goes away really quick and then you're just like,
yeah.
Wait, that's what I saw in the trailer? Come on. Anyway.
Anyway, did we watch anything this week, baby?
You don't even know if you watched them.
I don't think we watched anything this week, so.
Oh, this guy.
It was another week where I watched a lot of, I listened to a lot of football, fantasy football podcasts, and that's it. We did not watch anything. Work has been a bear. And I continue to try to implement new business processes. So that's been my struggle on a day to day. And I don't see any real viewing of anything before Disney Plus. I think I'm going to hold out for Disney Plus. I might squeeze in the season 3 of Rick and Morty if Ann can rent it from the library for me. She's the only one that knows how to do that. Oh yes. Borrowing it from the library, not renting it, because we don't pay anything. We pay taxes.
I was gonna say we pay. Okay, so your mission this week, I don't care, is to watch one episode of something.
Something.
I know you have 22 minutes in you. You got 22 minutes you can squeeze aside to watch an episode of something.
I will do that.
There you go.
I didn't watch anything alone. Didn't I watch something alone? Oh, okay. I did watch something.
What?
I watched Explained.
Oh, on Netflix.
On Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw the monkey intelligence. Is that of human intelligence, right? Is it that the one?
Yeah. Yeah, so I watched the cult one and I watched the billionaires one. So I did see both those episodes. And, you know, the cult one, I love the occult. I love not the occult. I love the explained version of cults. I like understanding what drives people to be involved in cults. It's very evocative to me.
I was a cult leader.
And then what's that?
I was a cult leader.
Oh yeah?
No, did you ever see The Office?
No.
You never watched The Office?
Which, I mean, I watched The Office, but I don't remember the episode where somebody was a cult leader.
Who was the old guy in The Office?
Oh, yeah, I don't know his name, but yes.
I've been involved in a number of cults, both as a leader and a follower. You have more fun as a follower, but you make more money as a leader.
He's great. Oh, that's such a great show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that one, I watched that one. It was great. And then I rolled into the billionaire one and that would just make me angry. So that's what I watched this week. Just a couple of episodes of Explained.
Oh, Creed.
Creed. Okay.
You know, the funny thing is Explained, I haven't watched it yet, but that's another example of how they continue to just feed you something until you finally submit. It's like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this. Oh, fine, I'll watch it.
I'm very interested to see how Disney Plus does it. If they have the same aggressive programming like that, of algorithmic programming.
Right.
All right, well, I will watch more stuff this upcoming week for sure.
Let's finish out with Ted's countdown for Disney Plus.
Okay.
Give me the countdown, Ted.
Well, you give me your guess first.
Oh, shoot. I haven't been keeping track. You're right. I need...
That's the better part.
That's the better part, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say... So am I counting down towards how much time is left, right?
How much time is left from our day of recording, not from release? So Sunday night.
Yeah, from right now until... Okay, sure.
Right now.
Okay, so let's say we're looking at 30... No, I'll go 30.
Well, now you can just do the math.
No, I'm going to go 30. I don't even know when it's being released, to be honest.
Okay,
with
okay,
you.
Okay, right.
I'm going to say 34 days. Oh, geez. 17 hours and 27 minutes.
Okay, so 29 days, 8 hours, 23 minutes, and 30 seconds.
I think my plus minus ratio is holding consistent.
It's consistent, right?
Yeah, I think it's consistent. Like, I think I'm running about like a quarter day ahead.
You're running, 3 days, 3 to 5 days ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean a quarter day ahead, meaning it keeps built, like, you know, every day.
Oh.
Or every 4 days for me is one day, right?
Okay. So like, that's like dog years.
Yeah, exactly. I'm functioning in dog years for when, no, it's Disney years.
Disney years. Oh, right? No. You're on Disney's time.
I'm on Disney time.
All right. Well, on that, we'll go to sleep so we can knock out some of these days, and we'll see you when there's 22 days left.
All right. Like I tell my kids, go to sleep. When you wake up, we'll be there. So, all right, man. You have a good night.
All right. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. Bye now.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.